Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah to his name. Amen. He loves us so much. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High, amen, and to declare his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness at night. Father, I just ask you, Lord God, that you would cover me with your grace and with your mercy. And what I say today, Lord God, that it will be of you and that it will be received in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I give you greetings from Sharon Baptist Church. My pastor is Bishop Keith Reed Sr. He has been pastor there for about 33 years. It is a big congregation, but we have a wonderful, loving fellowship, rich in the Lord, and sharing the gospel throughout the city of Philadelphia. Your pastor was touched by the Holy Spirit, I know, because I have only given my testimony twice, once before church and once in counseling. And my abortion experience happened a long time ago. I was only 21 years old, and it was before Roe versus Wade was passed. So I had an illegal abortion. And in my heart, all abortions are illegal. It is against God's rule. And you must remember that. I have lived long enough to hear so many different explanations for abortion. And I have heard from Christians who even struggle because they know that abortion is legal in this country. And it amazes me because once you read his word, you know that life comes from him. Now, I came up in a Catholic household. I had no word in me. I had a lot of rules, but we were not really taught the word of God. We were taught catechism. I knew who Jesus was, but he was not my Savior. And when I prayed to Mary. So I was not saved. I had a good education. I had a Catholic education. I went to West Catholic Girls High, graduated, and was accepted at University of Penn Hospital. And I went through their microbiology program. And I was dating a young man during this time. And I loved him to no end. I really did. He was my first sexual experience. But I was not his first experience in sex. He was only about 4 years older than me. When I found out I was pregnant, I was 21 years old. We were supposed to get married, but when I said I was pregnant, he did not want the baby. And I was totally ashamed because of my Catholic background to tell my family. And I went along with the abortion. I blame myself for it. He was to blame also, but I really take the responsibility because before the act was done, I was asked, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And I said, "Yes." Let me tell you something. Abortion is painful. I don't care whether it's in a doctor's office, in a clinic, or a hospital. It is taking life from life. The life of the baby from you, which is a part of you, and biologically that baby has been placed in the uterine wall, and it is extracted, and it is painful. And I really did suffer, but I kept that silence, and I kept it for years. But anyway, right after I had the abortion, my boyfriend and I went out for a ride, and something came over me, which is called conviction. And I fell apart. I started to cry uncontrollably because I knew I did something wrong. I knew it right then and there, and I was not saved. So the unsaved world knows that they are doing something wrong. Don't think that they don't. They are in denial of what they've done. They believe what they're told, but they know that they've done something wrong because God places the word in our hearts. He already said that. It is for us to choose what we're going to do. I went through massive pain for at least a week. I took a week off from work, and slowly I started to feel better. But the result of what I did followed me for a long, long time. I became an alcoholic. I became promiscuous. This young man and I, we lived together for 6 years. But I'm going to tell you something. God forgives because he gave me two sons. He forgave, and I knew that he forgave me when I became pregnant because I did not know whether I would ever have another child. The second boy, of course, my partner, wanted me to have an abortion. Now, by this time, Roe versus Wade was passed in the state of New York, and I did make an appointment to go, but I told him that I'll go all the way up to New York, I'll go to the door, and I'll turn around and I'll come back because I will not go through that again,
amen,
ever, ever again for you or anybody else. But I'm still drinking, and I'm still promiscuous because I'm living with him. We broke up, and I was in a state of depression. I even became physically ill. I acquired a goiter in my throat. I had to go back and forth to the hospital. I mean, I was a broken human being, but I was functioning, still working, still taking care of my boys, and I met someone else who was even physically abusive to me. But I didn't have enough strength to even get out of that situation, and I was in that situation for 15 years. Do you see what sin will do? Do you see what it'll do? But I had never had the gospel give it to me. And there were many times that I tried to read God's word and I didn't even understand it. I really didn't, because I hadn't got on my knees and said, God, please forgive me what
amen,
I've done.
Amen.
You got to confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us from all our sin and cleanse us. He'll do it for you. He really will. And if you know anybody that's in that situation, give them words of encouragement that God loves them. Well, anyway, I had two more children, two little girls by this time. But being in an abusive physical situation was more than I could bear. I cried out to the Lord, and I remember what I said. I knelt down and I said, Jesus, I know you're not going to leave me here. And when I look back at that, that was kind of bold of me because I didn't even recognize him. But it came out of my soul. And from that moment on, God started pulling me and leading me. I went into a shelter to get away from that man because I thought he was going to kill me. But I was determined that I was going to get out of that situation and I was going to take my children out of that situation. Now, I don't want to tell you that after I repented, that everything became wonderful and hunky-dory, because it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle. But may I say, I got a husband, and I've been married for 21 years.
Amen.
He's a good man, and the reason why I married him was because he loved Jesus Christ more than he loved me. He would not marry me until I went through Christian counseling, biblical counseling. And that was a Christian stronghold. And I'm going to tell you, I was insulted. I really was. I mean, I had been saved for 7 years, and here you are telling me that you're not going to marry me unless I go through biblical counseling. And it was a course that I had to go through. And in that course, I learned that I had forgiven, but I was bitter. My heart was really, really bitter. Now, Pastor Randall asked me to tell you how I started to work for Pennsylvania Pro-Life. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't even really remember when I even was presented to the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I was sent information in the mail, and I told my husband that I wanted to go see Alveda King. She was in King of Prussia. She is the niece of Martin Luther King. She has been on the battlefield for pro-life for a long, long time. And she's been struggling to get the message through, and especially in the city of Philadelphia. This is a political city, and it's run by people who do not want that message to come out. And it is really unfortunate because the majority here in the city are Afro-Americans, and Afro-Americans kill their babies more than anybody else in the nation of the United States. We have been really tricked and fooled. We have been zeroed in on by Planned Parenthood a long time ago in the 30s, mm-hmm. when Margaret Sanger began the Negro Project, and she began it in the churches. And one of the churches that she went to was in the city of New York, of the prominent Afro-Americans up there in Harlem, telling them that they didn't need to have a lot of children. She is the founder of Planned Parenthood, and they don't deny it. They have killed many, many children, but they are not the only organizations. NARAL is one. Our hospitals kill more children than you'll ever realize. I have a friend who is a head nurse in the recovery room. Girls 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. The average young woman has had 5 abortions between the ages of 15 to 25. That's horrible. And when you start really reading about the things that happen to women, women become depressed. Why? They don't know why. It's because they had an abortion. Women become alcoholics, drug abusers. They lose themselves when they have murdered a child. And it's murder. Don't let them tell you it isn't, because it is murder. And guess what? If you never have another baby, but you've aborted a baby, you're a mom. You have a child in glory. God has received that child and holding it for you. That child is alive with him. Pastor was kind enough to print out the goals of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I just want to read it to you. Our mission is committed to promoting the dignity and value of human life. Human life is not a blob of tissue at the moment of conception. Life and life makes life. Not death and death. Not death and life, but life and life makes life. So the moment of conception, that child is a human being. Most women, when they conceive a baby, they don't even know that they're pregnant until 2 months later. Most women don't know. By that time, that baby is almost this size. Almost this size. Now, this little one here is 6 to 8 weeks, and this was the size of the baby that I aborted. And I saw that baby when he came out of me. And I will never forget it. And it's so funny, because one day when I was doing a display and I was putting them in these little packages, the Lord said to me, "Do you remember?" Because you have a way of putting thoughts behind yourself, and you think you know, you've forgotten, but you haven't forgotten. And that's why God has me here, because I saw my baby. And there have been millions and millions of little ones just tossed aside. Trust me now, they use those tissues from the little ones for all kinds of experiments. They are not just disposed of. They are experimenting on them. And when they tell you embryonic stem cells, those little ones have been killed. They become embryos when they're fertilized. Okay? Just remember that. And adult stem cells are more useful than embryonic stem cells, because they do not know what embryonic stem cells will do. They multiply in different areas in different ways, more so than adult stem cells. We are committed from conception to natural death to restoring legal protection for the preborn children. People say they will never get rid of abortion in this country. But do you know there are laws being passed in different states that are stopping abortion after a certain amount of weeks that we need to start talking about more and more here? And it's through legislation, political action. Stop being afraid of telling the people that you're voting for that you're not for abortion. There are Democrats in this city that don't like abortion, but they say nothing about it. And now you got Republicans that don't want to say anything about it either. On the radio, we have a young man whose name is Jay Sekulow. He works for CBN. He works out, I forget where his main office is, but he works for Christians. And he says, he calls it worshiping at the altar of abortion. Do you realize abortion has been talked about in God's word from the very beginning? It is worship of Moloch. That's what it is. The Canaanites worshiped and did a child sacrifice, the Jebusites. The ancient tribes sacrificed their babies. They burned them alive. That's what passing through the fire means. And that's what they do. When they have discarded of those little ones, some of them are passed through the fire. Nothing is new under the sun. Educate your children, because if they're in public school, they're being told that it's okay. We'll give you a condom. It's all right. It's all right. Don't worry about it. It's natural. You have to push abstinence. What's wrong with that word? There's nothing wrong. It's a beautiful word. Abstain from food. Abstain, fast, do this. Well, fast from having promiscuous behavior. We have to tell our children. That's why so many diseases are on the books today, that they have no cure for. The old diseases are coming back, and they don't know how to fight them. We proclaim the truth about abortion, infanticide. Infanticide is when these poor little ones are born through abortion, but somehow they have survived, and they will not give them anything to maintain life. And that's being done a lot. And euthanasia is a big thing now that is promoting suicide. Doctor prescribed suicide. And isn't it ironic now, when I was a young woman, you know, the women were taking their bras off, promoting women liberation. Now, that's one reason why Roe versus Wade was passed. It was an emotional law to satisfy women. But it's only because you want to have sex with who you want to have sex with. Pride. You want to do that. And then men, even today, if a young lady gets pregnant, that's your problem. That's your body. I didn't have anything to do with that. You knew what you were doing. Don't take the responsibility for being the father of a child. These people today that are in the state of Pennsylvania are called Compassion and Care, and they are promoting euthanasia among the handicapped, those with autism, and those with terminally ill illnesses. We have five states that have already legally approved it, and Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is trying to get the word out to let you guys know that you have to make plans when you're ill, before you become ill, to make sure that you are protected. And they are really zeroing in on the aged. They really are. I went to a meeting with a state representative who said that he was for this bill. And I couldn't believe the things that he said. They're so cold. I mean, if you have a child that has Down syndrome, he have a child, you are willing to kill that child? The life value is very little now. This is where abortion has brought us. This is where it has taken us. So think about these things. I also want to encourage you to think about starting a chapter in your church. I'm only one person. I can't get to a whole lot of churches. But think about having a small chapter in your church where you would go out when you're going out to give out clothes, to have a table to show what these young girls are doing to themselves. I only know of two pregnancy crisis centers in the city of Philadelphia. And that is one at 16th and Lombard Alpha, and the Hope Center on Broad Street that is part of Greater Exodus in this great big city. But you have so many abortion places. I wanna leave you with a couple of scriptures from Galatians, the second chapter, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through the philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. That's political correctness. Okay? When you say something that they don't want to hear, they tell you it's not politically correct. But God says it has to be according to Christ and not the world. And when you hear that word political correctness, know that a lie is getting ready to be told to you. Just get ready. And the other scripture is from Galatians also, same chapter 2. Let no one cheat you of your reward, holding delight to false, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. There's a lot of philosophy going around here today. Educators are filling our children that we paid money to send to our colleges to learn a bunch of nonsense. Amen. You have got to tell your children the truth. You've got to give them the Word of God. And young people, take the time to read your Word. If it's not every day, make sure that you get it in during the week sometime. Follow a pattern, because guess what? God speaks to you. He talks to you. He has not left you alone. So feel free to come back and look at the table. Pastor, I thank you. I hope I didn't use too much time. But God bless you. Amen.